Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send us a recipe or contact us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Also, you could visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about energy levels. And you've probably had people tell you that you're high energy because you're a leader. And people say that to me all the time, you're so high energy. But what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is leadership and group dynamic energy within our context? Within the context of an alternative dispute resolution, a mediation, a negotiation, a seminar, a workshop, whatever it is that we're doing, we're usually the leader. What is it that constitutes energy, that constitutes high energy, so that we can know how to encourage it? And as a practical matter, how to encourage the group dynamic to be high energy, just like us. Yes. So what is it? What is leadership energy so that we can transfer it to the group dynamic, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you. We have lots of people. Thank you for all of your participation. Let's see. I think Akira and others, the number one type of energy that we have, that we want the group to have, is people calling it all kinds of things. I'm going to call it enthusiasm. Yeah, enthusiasm, that you are very optimistic, right, and that you are certain that we're going to reach a successful outcome because we're going to work on it, and you are enthusiastic about it. Yeah, you can't deal with a group, you can't properly lead them if you don't have any enthusiasm for it. Mm-hmm, yeah. And you know, in the United States, and I know this is a global show, but there's probably an expression that is comparable. If people have lost their enthusiasm and they no longer like what they do, they say they've burned out. Yeah. Ever heard that expression? Burned out. And it means that I don't have an energy level for it anymore. I don't have enthusiasm. I'm not feeling positive and optimistic, as quite a few people are calling it. Yeah, I need to do something else. Yeah. Yes, that's, well, I don't know if that is or not. People are calling that midlife crisis, which means really that you've been doing something for quite a while professionally, and it's time for a change. Mm-hmm. And this happens not necessarily always in midlife, just kind of people lose their energy level, right? Lose their enthusiasm. And in order to be an effective leader, that can't happen. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, well, and sometimes it's true that if the process is taking a long time, people are talking about having that happen not all over, not to change professions, but with a certain group, a certain set of issues, right? And the answer is you need to revitalize. You need to recommit to what it is that brought you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that we're still working on it. And that nobody said it would be fast or that it would be easy, right? Yeah. In fact, when I start out with an issue, a group, that I know I don't know anything, but in my opinion, which may be my preconceived notion, huh? Mm-hmm. We've talked about preconceived notions lots on prior shows, archived on our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. But basically it means that I've come in with an idea of how it's going to go and how long it's going to take. And my idea is usually predicated upon experience, right? Because I have a great deal of it. And so I go, well, this is complicated, right? And it has to oftentimes to do with the government, right? And that moves slowly, especially in the United States, but I think everywhere government moves kind of slowly, right? And I tell people right up front, my group, that this is going to take a while. We may take two steps forward and one step back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. It doesn't mean that we're not doing well. It doesn't mean the process isn't valid. It doesn't mean that we should give up. It just means that we've tackled an issue that is many-layered and has to deal with lots of outside our group influences that might need to be accommodated. Yeah, outside our group influences. What does that mean? Well, people are asking for an example. And thank you for all of your participation. Of not letting enthusiasm kind of fail, right? You know what? Let's look at the other topics we're going to talk about because they all have to do with enthusiasm and with issues that are complicated and might even be multi-generational because you have to change perception. Oh, you want to know now. Okay. People are saying we want an example now. Okay. Sometimes you're very enthusiastic and your group is enthusiastic. And they want to change something that is complicated because there are other groups that are very enthusiastic on the opposition. This is what usually happens, right? They are equally devoted, equally enthusiastic, equally determined, and they are on the absolute opposite side of what you think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of an issue will take a little while because what you're going to do is you're going to have a dance up and back with the other groups that are in opposition. And it's unlikely that you will be able to reach serious accommodation with them. You might be able to negotiate a compromise. Let's think about this. Yes. In the instance I'm thinking of, I think we did negotiate a compromise. Because it took so long that one of the really big-time leaders of the opposition group, and, you know, everybody likes their power and they don't like to give up their position so that they say, oh, we concede. Well, we don't want to either, right? Right. And one of the main opposition leaders changed their mind for personal reasons. Now, what kind of a group was this? In the United States, marijuana is an illegal substance. It is federally illegal. Federal is the highest, the most illegal something can get. It's prosecuted. You can go to jail. It's serious. It's a biggie. For a long time, for generations, illegal. It's the demon weed, you know. And there was a movement for quite a few years, started quite a few years ago, that said, you know, marijuana is not harmful and it has a great deal of benefit to the system medically. Pardon me. And pardon me. And there was a great deal of opposition because people don't like to have anything legalized that could have potential intoxicating effects. Yeah, I know. We had prohibition and that didn't work out well. Well, marijuana illegality didn't work out well either. Put a lot of people in jail for something pretty minor. So, there were groups in favor who had to be well organized, and if I may say, you needed to be fairly well funded. When we started out, you needed to be especially well funded because there was no internet. It's been going on so long. You had to reach the public with traditional advertising. But one of the main things you had to do was to get politicians who are voted in a democratic election. That means all the people have to vote on them, and there's opposite. They have an opponent to say we don't think it should be illegal anymore. Ooh, that's a tough road to hoe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Attorney General, let's see, the person who's the head of health in the United States, it's a federal job, it's not Attorney General. Yeah, they call him a health czar, but that's kind of silly. But anyway, groups backed it. The health czar backed it. I mean, but still. Politicians were scared to come out and say that they were in favor, which means that Congress was never going to vote. There were lots of opposition groups. Oh, religious groups, groups that didn't want their teenagers to smoke pot, all kinds of groups. Pardon me. They were very well organized. They were very well funded. They were equal in enthusiasm, right? Right. This means that it took a really long time. We actually had to modify and give up on the federal and go state. Now that, if you're not familiar with our government, doesn't seem like that big a deal. It took years to come to that decision because, quite frankly, it's never been done before, and it's kind of nuts. But you had to think outside the box. You had to, but what I'm telling you is you had to maintain enthusiasm and high energy levels. And the other three areas that I think we're going to talk about, which are going to be empathy, you had to be able to understand where the other people were coming from. I'm going to call it people skills. Had to be able to deal with other people lots and try to reason with them. And what should we call this fourth grouping? How about the ability to inspire others, right? Yeah. You have to get people to hang in, to keep going, to hang in there. And then they modified and said, you know, what we really want is medical marijuana. See, that's less, that got rid of a lot of the opposition about getting high and being irresponsible, driving the car intoxicated, so to speak. Yeah. And nowadays, you can hybrid out the plant so that it has pain relief properties, but not fabulous for pain and for pressure and for all kinds of things, wasting diseases, all, oh my, yes. So anyway, but this is an example of the fact that we needed to maintain high energy levels, needed to maintain enthusiasm, needed to maintain the ability to go forward, even though it looked kind of hopeless for a while there. And you know something? The world changed while we were working on it. Yeah, that's it. The world changed. Yes, the internet came into being, which makes reaching out to the public, to telling people how they want to vote, who they want to contact to put in their opinion that this would be a good thing to the politicians. Yeah? All of this made a great deal of difference because it allowed, well, both groups to reach out, but especially the pro ones because people didn't know that it was being worked on. Right? Right. And some states have legalized, but not all. Yeah, it depends on the political climate, really, and on the energy level on both sides. Yeah, so that's a leadership, that's a high energy leadership that needed to go on for years. It was generational, right? Yeah. Oh, people want to know what happened that really turned the tide. This is perhaps uncharitable of me, but as we went forward and as it took so long and as enthusiasm levels had to stay, right? Enthusiasm is a topic we're on now. The world changed. The internet came into being and its power to attract traction, to attract people to a cause. And also the one of the really lead opponents got very ill and needed to have the pain-sparing properties of marijuana. Changed his mind. Yeah. It meant that he really understood how important it would be if you were ill. Yeah. And so that made a difference with medical marijuana. He's kind of switched sides and took his followers with him because they all went, wow, really? Oh. Now we understand. Yes. Yeah. So what other energy level within our context do we need as leaders that we're going to impart to the group? Because we are always the good example, right? Yeah. So what other energy level? I'm going to call the next one. Thomas and others are talking about empathy, right? Empathy. We got to be able to see where the other side is coming from, what they think. Empathy. We're going to talk about each one of these in greater depth as we go during the show. So let's get out. I'm going to make four categories, I think. Because I'm going to, all of you, fabulous. Thank you all so much for your participation. I'm going to kind of make four groups that I think everybody's opinions and answers are going to fall into. I'm going to call the next one, Sharon's calling it people skills, and I think it's a good word for all of this. I'm going to call the next one people skills. Yeah. The ability to deal with people successfully. You ever have anybody... And I see this all the time, I guess because I'm a lawyer, and it's kind of a personality trait. Did you ever deal with, and of course you have, somebody who's truly got kind of a personality that they could pay you a compliment, they could be saying something nice, and it would seem insulting and annoying? Yeah. And they're really... don't think they are. They think they're being factual. You know, they think that they're just being saying what needs to be said type thing. And it's really, really annoying. And yeah, they've got that kind of personality. They have no people skills. And they don't understand social cues either. And we all look for them. When somebody's speaking with you, you look at them to see their attention level, their whether they understand what you're saying, and like that. Yeah. So, yeah, people skills. Yeah, you got to have them in order to have a successful high energy level, right? Yeah. Hassan and others are talking about inspiration. So I think that our last area is going to be the ability to inspire others, right? Yeah. The ability to make people follow us. We're the leader. Are we a leader if we have no followers? I know that's very existential. But yeah, to have the ability to inspire others to go forward. So, we're a practical show, right? And we like theory as well as the next person. But what we really like is the how-to. How to really get this done on a practical level. So let's look at these. Let's look at these areas. The first one was enthusiasm. So how do we encourage enthusiasm? Yeah. How do we get it? How do we keep it? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an interesting point. John says that as leader, you must have a vision of success. A vision of success. We talk about what does success look like a lot on this show, because if you don't have that vision of success, then you don't really know where you're headed, right? You don't know what it, you won't know it when you've got it, is the problem. So you do, you need a vision of success. Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Benita and others are saying not only the vision of success, but a vision of the process and how to lead to the next steps. Yes, that's one of our main jobs as leader, right? Is to really, well, to lead, to show people this is the vision of success. We all share it. Now, we may have to modify it, but we've got that down. But what we need to do is think about the process. Think about the vision of the process and how to lead to the next steps. Because that's how we practically and pragmatically, well, we get our vision, we lead to our success. Our vision of success comes into being. It becomes a reality. Yes. So that's very important. We need to be able to really find out what it is that we're going to need to do. Right? Yeah. Our vision of success needs to be a very practical one. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And our vision of the process is what makes that practical. Mm-hmm. Lee and others are talking about how do we encourage enthusiasm as an energy level, which it is an energy level, right? Yes. If everybody's enthusiastic, they're high energy. We want to get this done. We not only want to get this done, but we've got a vision for it, and we've got the idea of how to do it. That's the process. Let's get it done. High energy level, enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Lee and others are talking about you'll get enthusiasm if you have transparency in leadership. Mm-hmm. I do. I am very, very big on that. I always remember, and you should too, that we are experienced with this process, with the idea of how to effectuate change, or maybe prevent change, depending on which side you're on, right? But we are familiar with it. We've seen it. We've done it. We've seen group dynamic. We understand how to work with it. But it is our participants' first time, right? And they are unsure. But it's a group. A lot of times it's a group that is made up of, for example, a certain level of employee. It is a group where they're going to see each other again. And nobody wants to look ignorant. It's human nature. Nobody wants to ask a basic question that they don't understand, but they figure everybody else understands it because nobody else asked. This is bad because it means that nobody understands it. It's just that nobody wanted to be the one to ask, right? Right. What should we do? Well, the thing to do is have transparency and explain what's going on. Very important to explain things. Yes, this is how it's going to work. Yeah, this is what we need to do. This is our next step. This and why. I answer why questions, and I encourage them about the process, about what we're doing. Why are we doing this? And the answer is because I think it's the next step, and I'm the leader. Do you have a better idea? I am open to suggestion because sometimes somebody does have a better idea because they have a more intuitive grasp of the subject matter, perhaps, or they've just got a different perspective. And it's very interesting, and we accommodate that. We go, oh, my. Well, let's think about that. Yeah. Very important to have transparency in your leadership. I actually ask at the end of each session, I ask for questions. Sometimes I ask from the beginning of each session if we've done quite a bit of work that we haven't seen each other yet for a while. Does anybody have any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we need to think about something else? I want to know. I truly do, too. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes people have very basic questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vision of the... Explain why, the transparency. How do we encourage enthusiasm and a high energy level in both ourselves and the group dynamic? Nico and others are saying we do it by being good examples. Always, yes. Good examples. Just like we need to be good examples of the civility rules, we need to be good examples of high-level energy and enthusiasm. Because if we're going, oh my God, this isn't going to work, believe me, it won't work. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And your followers will get terribly discouraged because they'll go, oh my God, the leader doesn't think it's going to work. We might as well all go home. And you know what? You might as well all go home if that's what the leader thinks. Yeah. Got to have high level of energy and enthusiasm. It's going to make it. It's going to take us a little bit longer than we thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to be a good example of it. Ramirez says that we need to find new answers and new paths to success when we encounter obstacles. Yes. Encourage enthusiasm. Finding new answers and new paths to success when we encounter obstacles. Absolutely. It doesn't always go smooth. If it was easy, it would have been done already, right? Yeah. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody even said it was going to be fast. They said it needed to be done. And that's the key. It needs to be done. And we are going to do it because we have a vision, we have a process, and we have a fabulous leader who's got a very high energy level. Yes, finding new answers and new paths. That is usually a group adventure to find new answers and new paths. Sometimes it's the leader. But sometimes the leader has an idea that the others have to think about and maybe modify, right, to suit the situation better. Mm-hmm. Yes, but a lot of times there's obstacles. But we can overcome them. Yeah, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Samantha and others are saying something that I'm very fond of. And thank you for being here because I know that we've talked about this and this is fabulous. I think that in order to encourage enthusiasm and to really keep it high, to keep the energy level high, one of the ways to do that truly Recipe for Peace now advocates, and I do it all the time, is to celebrate each success. Yes, celebrate each success. Every time you move a step forward, yay team, let's celebrate. Let's mark it. Let's say, you know, this was a really good thing. This is something that we can get behind. This is for us. This is our success. This is important. And we're getting closer. Mm-hmm. It's a way to keep enthusiasm and energy levels high. The reason being is that people forget how far away you really were to begin with and how far you've come. That's the idea, how far you've come. Look how far we've come. Look how far we've gotten. Right? Yes, that's fabulous. Look, we've gotten so close. Let's push it over. Let's go the extra steps. Yes, fabulous. Yeah, to make it really, really celebrate each time. Because people remember the celebrations, and then they know that they're going forward. Now, we've got to get going to the next topics. We are not only not going to make it to the recipes, which sometimes happens to us because we have such a fabulous discussion, but we won't make it to the other three. Now, I think the next one that we talked about was empathy. So how do we maintain the energy levels and encourage empathy in ourselves, really, and in our group dynamic? So that we can have high energy levels and keep going and really work with each other. Yes, and sometimes we need, as leader, and see that we have empathy. Yeah, because sometimes we have to think about it. Because someone has an opinion or a way of saying things that is grating to us. And it's not exactly what we thought it was, what we think too. Yeah? Yeah. So how do we maintain empathy? The high energy level and empathy. Let's think about this. Let's work together, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Erin and others are pointing out what's something that we usually point out, which is true, that empathy is understanding, not agreement. Yeah, it's understanding and not agreement. And how do you get to that understanding? Yes, thank you. We have lots of people who have been here before. Thank you so much for coming and for being and for participating. And for the new ones, and thank you so much for being here. Please come again. And the way to gain that understanding, not agreement, well, you might agree after you have empathy, but you might not. But you need to understand why somebody has taken the position they have taken, right? In order to reach that level of understanding, we need to ask the 5 W questions. Who, what, where, when, and why, right? Yeah, because how are we going to know if we don't ask? The 5 W's, who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. That'll get down to the bottom of why you have that opinion. Mm-hmm. Why you think that's a good idea. Who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. Very important and very worthwhile in getting to the bottom of who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll tell us many things that will allow us to understand the background. Sometimes you ask these questions in front of everybody, and sometimes that's a private question, right? During one of the breaks. Mm-hmm. Which is why we have the food and it's convivial and everybody's still in the room and like that, because you might want to know and then work on it. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if you ask those kinds of questions, it makes people think about their position, and they go, because somebody told me that. Well, gee willikers, that's not much of a response, right? Hmm. Who, what, where, when, and why? Mm-hmm. I like to do it to myself, too, if I think that I'm getting that I have... really have an opinion about something as a third party impartial, and I'm going to kind of assist the group in going in a direction. I think about who, what, where, when, and why for me, so that I know that I'm truly being impartial and that I am not bringing my own preferences to bear on the group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How else do you maintain a high energy level and empathy? Toro says by interacting with different types of people. Yes, that has to do with your tolerance too, by interacting with different types of people. And how are you going to have empathy and the high energy and go forward with enthusiasm if you can't deal with all kinds of people, right? You need to interact with all types. People tend to like people that are more similar to them. But that's not how the world works now, is it? Mm-hmm. Yes. Andrew says that you can maintain and encourage empathy by seeking common interests. Yeah? Seeking common interests. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Suki says by emphasizing that we're more alike than different. We're more alike than different. We've gotten to the who, what, where, when, and why. We're more alike than we are different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are there for different reasons. We're in the group for different reasons. But we all want the same outcome. It means we should all work together. You know that marijuana example that I used at the beginning of the show, the group? That's an example also of a group where there were tremendously different interests on both sides, but even on the same side, on the pro side, you had different kinds of organizations representing different kinds of illnesses that medical marijuana would be good for. HIV, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, aging groups, and like that. Yeah. So you had a bunch of different kinds of organizations who wanted to have the medicinal benefits, but they also kind of wanted to be the one in charge, you know. So that's take those to our next topic, which is people skills. And then you had the growers, the sellers, right? You had the economic reasons. And, yeah, the processors, the whole bit. And then you had some people who were there because they wanted to use it, because they needed it for a condition. Yeah, migraine headaches would do it. And then you had people who were there because of what I'm going to call social good. They didn't have an actual economic or personal interest, really, but they thought that it would be good for society to not spend all that money prosecuting people for possession and selling of marijuana, for example. A lot of law enforcement people joined the group. There was more than one group, but joined the cause, right? Yeah, a lot of them joined the cause because they saw the effects of enforcement, and they didn't think it was right. So, yeah, you had all kinds of groups, all kinds of different kinds of interests, all wanting the same result, legalization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that has to do with people skills, too, because you had to have all of those kinds of people understand we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And when they started to kind of disagree internally and kind of get testy, you had to sort it out so that we could all go, yeah, wait, the greater good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of people skills do we need to maintain a high energy level, get to success? Mm-hmm. You know, Kelly and others, this is a really good point. One of the best people skills for this, Kelly says, is the ability to quickly respond. Yes, it's like being an umpire or something, the ability to quickly respond, to say, look, no, we're not going to get into that fray. We're going to go forward, and we're going to do it together, and it's necessary, and stop that, essentially speaking. Yeah, stop that. Don't just snipe at each other, for example. What's the point? We've got to make a united front, right? Right, yeah. And that is one of the reasons. Yeah, people are talking about media and people skills when dealing with the media. Pardon me, took a sip of water. And that's a very important skill. I don't know about more so. But especially today, because there's such a lot of different kinds of media. And there's so much out there that people who are doing the media, that around here we call them citizen reporters. I don't know if that's a really valid one, but everybody's got a blog and an opinion. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I've got a radio show. It's really a blog spot, right? Because it's not radio like Turn the Knob. But it goes all over the world, and it's kind of opinionated, let's face it. We talk up and back, but I give my opinions, right? Right. And nowadays, when something is put in writing or quoted, it kind of goes through a lot of channels and oftentimes gets... Oh, I don't like to say misinterpreted, but yeah, kind of misinterpreted. but interpreted in a way that wasn't intended. Let's put it that way. Or, yes, thank you, out of context is being noted. Yes, Elizabeth and others are talking about that things get quoted out of context. And they never come and ask you the context or another opinion. It just goes out there into the world. That's why it's very important, yes, you all know what I'm going to say. It's very important to not allow people to blog and like that while they're sitting there, because they're not doing it with thought. And they're not paying attention to the group when they're doing it. I know some of you are in favor of confiscation devices. I don't usually, because I know that it makes people very, very antsy when they don't have their phone on them, right? Right. Yeah, and they do want to sneak a peek at their texts and things. But not texting about what we're doing, please. Yes. And I do favor having somebody be the point person for the media. I do favor it. I think it's important that you get together and say who it is that's going to handle media interaction and what on earth it is that they're intending to say. Yeah, it's very important, because otherwise you might not have a united front. You might have varying opinions, and also people say things with intonation, with voice and like that, or they write things kind of hasty and it could be taken wrong. And honestly, if it can be taken wrong, take my word for it, friends, it will be. That's all there is to it. Yeah, if it can be, it will be. That is like a statement of fact. Yes. So you want to have somebody who has people skills and media skills, and high energy, so they follow up, right? And they really pay attention, and they represent the group to the outside world. Yeah. So that's the ability to quickly respond, as Kelly says, but also, as Elizabeth says, it's the ability to adapt and modify. Yeah. People skills. You also, George and others, are talking about understanding other people's preconceived notions is a people skill too. What are they saying and why? Right? The 5W questions. Yeah. This is an interesting point that Mohammed and others are making, that you need to step in before the disagreements escalate. And one of the ways to do that is to read the body language. Yeah. To really look at how people are interacting is a people skill. And as Mohammed says, the ability to step in before disagreements escalate and read body language. And that's how you know body language, also tone of voice, right? Yeah. And the idea is not to get to the point where we really have a vehement disagreement. No, we're going to be calm. We're going to be alert, have a high energy level. And we're going to say, no, we're not going to do that. We are not going to be incapable of reason after a while if it escalates, right? Need to not get to that point. You know. Sometimes we have discussions and people say things like, you could have a security guard or an off-duty police officer or something right there, or call for help. Let's use our people skills and try not to actually reach that state, reach the point where we need to actually think about something like that. It's going to breach the civility rules is what it really is. And at their core, because I know a lot of people are new, at their core, this is really the only rules the Recipe for Peace now has. At their core, the civility rules say, we will not be rude to anyone else. We will not be rude to each other. The core of the civility rules is just that. We will not be rude to each other. That's it. Yeah. Sometimes easier said than done. Yes, like all good rules. They need to be followed, and they need to be enforced. The civility rules, which is how we don't get to the disagreement beyond escalation stage, the civility rules need to be told, formed, that's transparency, and enforced equally and always. You can't suddenly break out new rules if you haven't been doing anything prior to this. Mm-hmm. Won't work. You need to enforce evenly, equally amongst all the people so they understand it, and immediately before you've got escalation. Once you've got escalation and you have to think about armed guards, it's too late. You got to work your people skills before then. And if you're a good example as leader of people skills, and preventing internal escalation. Mm-hmm. And you're probably the spokesperson for the media, too, right? Those are all people skills, because remember, the media is people, too, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you will do them before you reach the point of this is not working, kind of the point of no return over there. Yeah. Now, our last one, oops, I think we're not making it to the recipes. Maybe we can hurry this up, maybe we can. I know you guys like the recipes, and a lot of times we kind of have a lovely discussion, we don't quite make it. I think our last one we're going to call the ability to inspire others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ability to inspire others is a high energy level leadership skill. And how are we going to do that? Well, Karma and others are saying that that's really being a good example, right? A good example of the civility rules, a good example of efficiency, a good example all the way around. Mm-hmm. So that our followers have something good to follow, right? Yeah. And a good example of really holding the vision of success. Mm-hmm. Yes, Anna and others are talking about clear communication is the ability to inspire. That's with the transparency too, right? Clear communication. If you don't understand something, come and ask me for heaven's sake. Ask it in private if you don't want to ask it in front of the whole group. I'm standing around when we're having our time out with the food and everything. Yeah, come and ask me for clarification. Mm-hmm. Especially on an instruction. Do you ever have this, and I know that this happens all the time. Someone gives you an instruction, tells you what you need to do. And you nod your head and you say, yes, and I understand. And you do think that you understand. You really do. You think you've got it. But when you go to do whatever it is, you find out that it's not exactly what you thought. You find out that, darn it, I don't. I'm not sure. Or I really don't know how to do this. You need help. This is how your participants are, right? You need to have clear communication and be able to clarify. And if somebody is in over their head, you want to know about it before it gets too much time wasted. And you want to call in an expert, get them assistance from another participant in the group, help them yourself, whatever it is. If somebody says, oh, I don't think I'm making this, take their word for it and get help, right? Yeah. The ability to inspire others with the civility rules and a good example and clear communication. Yeah. Rujika and others are talking about having a convivial atmosphere, which we always strive for, And you need to show that even though you're unequal in skills, you're equal in ability to affect the outcome. Yeah. Rushika says that you need, in order to inspire others, you need to show that even though they're unequal in skills, they are equal in the ability to affect the outcome. And Rushika has now put in that it's like a diploma type skills, like education. Yes. When we inspire the group, we're all there for a reason, right? And the reason is that we want to reach the successful outcome. And we need to deal with each other. You need to know your participants in order to inspire them and inspire enthusiasm and get them to work really hard and like that. And one of the ways we do that is that we have the timeouts with some food and a convivial atmosphere so everybody stays in the room and chats outside the formality of the meeting. Mm-hmm. It also gives you, the leader, a moment to perhaps have a little quiet conversation with someone. Yes, about some sort of perhaps behavior that needs a little bit of modification but not group shaming. I'm not much on the peer pressure thing unless talking privately and quietly and like that is having absolutely no effect. And when that happens, then we'll talk. But other than that, I'm in favor of being gracious. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm in favor of speaking during the timeouts and like that. That's what they're for. And finding out the who, what, where, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one way we do this is to have some food in the room. Yes, we are going to get to one of the recipes, even if we go over time. It won't be too badly over time. And yes, I'm going to say what I always say because it's so important. If you're going to have food in the room, and you are, because it gives us something to do together that is fun and that is non-judgmental, right? Yeah. It gives us something to talk about. Oh, that's fabulous. How did you learn to make it, or where did you get it? Because not everybody has to cook. Very important, yes. And it is something that we want to have in the room, the conviviality of it. You're going to do it. You need to take a survey. You need to ask if anybody has a allergy, a food prohibition, or religious prohibition to some sort of food. You'll pass this information around. Then you're going to have everybody come with their food with a list of what's in it. Not just what it's called, but what's inside, so that I know from running my eye down the list whether or not I can eat it. I'm also in favor of having what I call a safe recipe. Now, what's a safe recipe? Not too many ingredients. We've taken the survey and we think everybody can eat them. And when you run your eye down the list, the ingredients would be food that my people had eaten before, something they're familiar with, so that they're not going to get a surprise. Mm-hmm. Now, let's do the safe recipe today, because it's been actually kind of announced for like 4 weeks now. We haven't gotten to it, but here we go. It's a chicken and tomato casserole. Now, you'll have checked out that people can eat tomatoes and everything else in here, right? Right. But it is also something that has common ingredients to me, but to my people, a curry would be unusual in an adventure recipe. So it depends on your people, whether or not you think this is safe, because this is a global show. And this is also an easy recipe, because I don't have a lot of time to devote. So probably you don't either because you're busy leading. Yeah. So chicken and tomato casserole. It's really quite delicious. Mm-hmm. Let's have a couple tablespoons of butter. I like to use butter. It gives it a little bit more depth. We are going to use a couple tablespoons of oil also, like an olive oil. Let's have 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breasts. It's easy for me to get that. They come packaged. And we're going to cut them into chunks and brown them on all sides, right? If that is hard for you to do, you can just bone and skin of chicken. I mean, it doesn't have to be the breasts. It's just that they look nicer and they're more uniform in size. Let's have a nice big sweet onion that we're going to slice up real nice and thin. A couple of garlic cloves, finely chopped. You think I use too much garlic, use less. Let's have a nice big, like a 16-ounce can of diced tomatoes. I do like to use the canned tomatoes. It's a lot easier. You want to use fresh ones. You're finer than I am. But really, the canned ones will make a nice consistency because we're making basically a tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. Let's have a couple tablespoons of parsley that we're going to chop up. It gives a little flavor and a little bit of look to it with a little bit of green. Let's have some basil leaves, if you can find them. We're going to tear them up and put them in, about six basil leaves. Rough chop them. Let's have a tablespoon of tomato paste. Let's have a cup of chicken stock. And if you like mushrooms and your people can eat them, they look nice. Do 3 cups of sliced mushrooms. Don't use the canned. It's the only thing that I say don't use canned on because they're not like food and they have no relationship to actual mushrooms. And that's really the truth. They're little chewy gray things. Don't ever use canned mushrooms or bottle them. You know what I mean, the processed mushrooms. Get the kind that are fresh. In my neck of the woods, you can actually buy them fresh and sliced in packages. So it's fabulous. We're going to preheat our oven to 325. We're going to take our butter and heat it up in the big Dutch oven that we're going to use for the whole thing. And let's put the oil in there, too. I like the little butter and the oil combo. You don't like that, use all oil. It's fine. And we're going to take our chicken and we're going to, you know, brown it all over and like that, right? The chunks of chicken. It won't take too long. And we want to cook them all around and so that we're not putting in raw chicken in anything. They're done. What, 10 minutes? We've browned on all sides, and we made chunks, so they're really basically cooked. Let's take them out of there and just stick them aside because we're going to add the other stuff. We're going to add the onions and the garlic. What, 8 minutes or something? They're all going to get all nice and soft and translucent and golden, yeah. We're going to add the tomatoes and the parsley and the basil and the tomato paste and the stock, yeah. Stir, stir, stir. Bring the whole thing to a boil. You know that chicken that we browned? Throw it back in. Yeah. You know you've got a lot of liquid. Well, not a lot, but you've got liquid in the pot because you've got the stock and the tomatoes, which you threw in with the juice, of course. Yeah, the whole can. So you don't want the chicken to be kind of floating on the top. So just when you put the chicken back in, push it down under the liquid so that it all gets submerged and it all cooks nice because we're now going to stick it in our oven for about an hour. Yeah, we're going to cover it, of course, put the cover back on the Dutch oven. Stick it in for about an hour. You notice that we didn't add the mushrooms yet because they're like shrimp. You add them at the very end because otherwise they're going to get funny. Add the mushrooms now. Well, they need to get hot. They need to get incorporated. Stick it back in the oven for like 10 minutes, right? We're going to make certain that our chicken is cooked through. We're going to give it a little poke, make sure that it's cooked. It is. Fabulous. We don't want to be raw in the middle. We're done. It's a real easy recipe. You serve it with pasta on the side or rice. I know George likes mashed potatoes. You always want for mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes too. And I prefer to have some sort of pasta that's not stringy, right? Because it's easy to serve. Something that you just put with a slotted spoon. Fabulous. Delicious. Easy to do. Yes. And everybody likes it. It's our safe recipe. Unless you've got somebody that can't eat tomatoes, then it's not. Yes. We are out of time, my friends. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming. If you would like to contact us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows archived on that website. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening, and please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.